Welcome to Private Club Radio, your weekly source for industry education, news and discussion. Broadcasting from Tampa, Florida, ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Gabriel Aloisi.
Hopefully those Easter celebrations at your club went off without a hitch. Another good one down here in Tampa. I would manage to stay away from the chocolate fountain this year. I actually did not go to Easter brunch, so shame on me. But I hope that all your covers were filled and that you had a wonderful time, that your members enjoyed themselves, that the kids found all those eggs hidden all over the club. I was going to enter my sons into that White House egg hunt, and I completely forgot to do that. But I think that would be so cool to get those two up there on the White House lawn searching for eggs. What a weird tradition it is, isn't it? It really doesn't make any sense. But anyways, hopefully you had a good Easter. And thanks for joining me once again here on Private Club Radio, where each and every Monday we are delivering the best in education and news and entertainment. Hopefully this show is entertaining to you because lots of people are stuck in traffic and I want your commute to be as fun as possible. That's why we got this show. And this week we have a good one for you. I'm going to be joined by Rick Coffey for another edition of The Inbox, where we answer your questions live here on the show. It is candid. You'll get our candid takes on membership and marketing issues that are pressing membership directors and general managers just like you all over the country. So that's going to be very fun. The other thing that's happening on today's show is Norm Spitzig will be on to talk about the Master Club Manager. The CMAA just awarded two new MCM designations to some managers out there, some lucky managers. Well, lucky maybe is the wrong terminology. People who have put in a lot of work. So we're going to find out what goes into actually getting the MCM designation, which is a very special designation. There's a select few managers across the country who have that, who've gone through that process. And we're going to find out what it's all about with Norm Spitzig of Master Club Advisors here coming up after The Inbox. Now, before we bring Rick Coffey on, I want to talk to you about the Private Club Radio app. I don't think a lot of listeners know that we have a custom app just for this show where you can listen to all the episodes. It makes it easy to vote for the next episodes or attend any of the Private Club Radio educations and just learn more about the guests. It's really fun and interactive. And it's free. If you go to your Google Play Store on your Android phone, you can download that app. Also, you can go to the App Store on your iPhone. Just search for Private Club Radio and it'll come up. You probably search Private CL or something and all of a sudden it'll be popped up right on your phone. Go ahead and download that app because that is going to be the best way to listen to the show and interact with the show. And that app will be constantly updated. In fact, it just got a new update because it wasn't working the way I thought it should. But I ironed out all those kinks with the developers and it's working just beautifully. And it's nice to just see that icon on your phone and know that it's an easy way to get to the show because podcasts, let's be honest, can sometimes be a little clunky and hard to find. And this is going to make it your life so much easier. And here's what I'd love for you to do. Tell one friend about that app. Have them just take the phone out of their hand, right out of their coat pocket if you've got to, and go ahead and download that app for someone who you think needs it because there's still a lot of people working in this business that don't know that this resource is here. It's 100% free each and every Monday. And I like to think that it's some of the best education that you're going to find outside maybe, you know, one of the national conferences or something. But it's like going to a conference each and every week right on this show. So it's something that if you're in this industry, you've got to know about it. And I'd appreciate it if you shared that with your colleagues and friends that are working in the private club industry. All right, it's time for The Inbox.
And now it's time to open up The Inbox. Join your hosts, Gabriel Aloisi and Rick Coffey, as they tackle the most important questions in the private club industry.
Well, welcome everybody to the fifth edition of The Inbox. I know it's been a while.
It's good to be with you, man.
Oh man, I tell you, I'm so jazzed up about this. I think this is like if Hall & Oates were to get together for one night at Madison Square Garden. This is the energy there.
The crowd has been dying for it. It's like, yeah, it's like the encore and the crowd is going wild waiting for us to come back on stage.
at this moment, everybody listening under 35 is asking their Amazon Echo, who is Hall & Oates?
Right. Exactly. You old man, you.
glad to have you back. I think this is going to be an exciting show. We got some unbelievable call-ins. So if you don't mind, let's get going with the first call here is from one of, I think, one of the truly top professionals in the industry.
Question number one.
Hi, Gabe and Rick. Danielle Hopper here with Billy Casper Signature Club Management. As you know, I utilize your CRM tool in all of our signature properties, and I cannot stress enough to our teams the importance of reporting. With that being said, I would love to know what you both think are the most important reports that a membership sales director can run on a weekly and monthly basis.
All right, great question, Danielle. So for me, it's all about your sales pipeline because that's what you're in business to do, right? So who's in that pipeline? What stage are they in? And what's the next step you need to take? So every customer is going to be on a journey, or a potential member in our case is going to be on a journey. What stage of your pipeline are they in? Are they a cold lead? Are they a prospect? Have they been taken on a tour? Where are they at? I think you should have that built into a CRM or some sort of system and know what your next action is going to take. That way you're going to be prepared when your general manager or your board member asks you where you're at, and you'll have an answer right away for them. What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, I agree with you. On a recent webinar I did, I put that as my number one sort of sales process, is to make sure everybody's ranked so you know where they're at. But speaking specifically about reports, there's two that come to mind for me. One is called a date of last activity report, and then the other one is the prospect age in the sales pipeline. So what the date of last activity is, it's basically a field that would tell you when's the last time that you had a touch with this person. So many times people get a little bit unorganized in our industry and people slip through the cracks because they think they've talked to them recently, but it ended up being 3-4 weeks ago. So this date of last activity is a way that you can sort your prospects and see, you know, who haven't you touched in a while and who should you get back with. And then the prospect age report is awesome. It's just a way where if the system can tell you when that person was first put into the system, and then they can count up the days since that date. And so we can have reports sent out that might tell us everybody who's 3 months old. You know, as salespeople, it's not our goal to close every sale. I think it's our goal to get a decision, a real decision, whether it's yes or no. And unfortunately, too many of our prospects always go without a real decision.
Mm-hmm. Well said, well said.
Question number two.
Well, our next question comes from Sylvia Lalin. She's the Director of Membership and Marketing at Gaston Country Club. I like the French pronunciation there. Our club has been offering some sort of discount since 2001. I've been here for almost 5 years and get the question, what special is going on now all the time? No one joins unless there's some sort of a promotion. And trust me, we've tried not to offer something in the spring of 2014 and it hurt us terribly that year. Is there any way to break the cycle yet still be able to bring on new members? What you got, Rick?
Well, this could be an entire episode of Private Club Radio, unfortunately. This is probably the biggest question in the industry. I appreciate her asking. You know, it's a question she's asking that thousands across the country want to know. My biggest disclaimer here is it really comes down to the financial situation of the club. There's some clubs out there who can't take a 1-2 year period to try to figure out everything. But if you have the possibility, that's the only way to really get out of this. What's happening here is something that's happened to Macy's. You know, Kohl's and those discount areas, they're used to that. That's their perception, is they're always going to have sales. So that works. But unfortunately, private clubs are much like Macy's, where the customers aren't used to that. And so once we start going into Macy's and we see that something, oh, used to be $130, but today it's $19.99, that just doesn't work. And unfortunately, that hurts the brand of a club. So, you know, what clubs need to do is sort of, again, take a little bit of time, do some homework, look at the market that's around them, figure out where their brand is, and figure out, okay, are we Macy's? Are we going to be Kohl's? And whichever you're going to do, do it right. So back in the day, Macy's was the higher priced area, and people knew that, and so they went there for it. So again, a very difficult answer, but you got to do some homework there.
I like the Macy's analogy. I'm actually sad for Macy's walking in there these days. It's really bad. Oh my goodness. But Sylvia, I love this question. And there's one way that I found that you can actually make this happen immediately, believe it or not. So it's one that I think that the club industry really has forgotten about. And I call it setting limits. And basically what you're going to do is create a sellout. So you need to have a sellout. Now, if you think of Apple or PlayStation or Xbox, whenever they release a new piece of technology, it's important for them to sell out. They want people lining up down the street for their product. Now, how do you do that in actual, you know, like obviously people want a discount in your situation. So how do you get them into the fact that, okay, we have a sellout? Well, you do that by limiting the quantity. And you tell people that you're actually going to raise the prices. And so they had better act fast. And the thing is, you can't just say that. You really need to do it. So I would encourage you and your club to create a limit on how many memberships of a particular category that you're going to open. So that could even be 3 memberships, by the way. And in fact, it could be 1 membership. And you announced to the world that you sold out on this membership category. Now the price is raised and they had better get in fast. I think that is a really powerful motivator. It's something that's in our human nature that if it sells out and other people are talking about it and other people did it, that we should do it too. And if we don't want to miss out. It's just something weird in our human psychology. So make sure you have a sellout, whatever that number is for you, and stick to the fact that you're going to raise the prices. And if you do that, you're actually going to start attracting people who don't want a discount but want to get in before they miss out.
I love it what you say there, because that's, you're looking for urgency on the prospect's end. And it, yeah, you're right. If there's unlimited amounts of sales out there, there's going to be no urgency. So urgency is really good. Appreciate that.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. So Sylvia actually asked us another question as well.
Question number 3.
Sylvia asks, our club has no fitness center. We have a small fitness room located at our pool complex that is currently used for 4 complimentary classes each week, 2 days of yoga, 2 days of weights and stretching. They aren't bad, but they're offered at 9 a.m. and only about 6 to 8 older women attend. While I know many members say we don't need a fitness center, i.e. they don't want to pay for it, I know having a robust health and wellness program will help add value to our club. I'd love to hear from you guys on what clubs have done who are in a similar situation. Have they created a program without an actual brick and mortar facility? And there are so many non-traditional fitness offerings out there now. Let's get some ideas. So Rick, what are your ideas for Sylvia here?
No, this is great. I mean, I that's why I love this show. I mean, there's so many different real situations going on here, and this is certainly one. We've heard the cliche over and over in business, Gabe, about thinking outside of the box. Well, the answer to this question to me is thinking outside of the walls. Typically, at clubs across the country, we have the best property in any given city. And so I want to recommend taking advantage of that. And so I've been at clubs where, you know, we'll do stretching, golf specific stretching out on the driving range. I mean, it's a beautiful property. It's all mowed very, very well. So we would take people out there and help them stretch before the round. You know, that was one thing there. At a club I was at in Chicago, we had an Aqua Fitness director come in. So we were utilizing the pool space at that time. Very fun classes, you know, set to music, and it's all done inside of the pool. You know, you can do anything using the property. We got some beautiful green spaces there. Obviously, it comes down to weather, but people love being outside and everything like that. And obviously, this is where cardio tennis started as well. Right. I mean, that's a great example of this. You know, they could be doing this inside a building, but they're out there doing fitness on the tennis court. So just take advantage of your property. Get creative. What do you think?
That's exactly what I was going to say as well. Let's think of ways to turn that negative into a positive. And so, yeah, like Rick said, you've got a beautiful property. Use it. So how about a sunrise yoga class or Tai Chi or something out there? Organized runs or bike rides around your club's grounds. You could probably come up with a nice running track or something that hopefully people won't get hit by the golf balls. All right. But if you do it the right time of day, I think you'll be fine. But figure out some ways to get people outside and exercising. And once they start doing that, Sylvia, they're going to be begging to start a gym fund, because you get in the habit of exercising and you start to feel better. And then you realize how much you really want to keep doing it. So get them outside. And I think things will change for the club there.
Those are good answers to that question.
Yep. Yep.
Now we jump into, I know this gentleman, he's up here at a club near me. Joe Leskis is the director of membership and marketing at Elgin Country Club here in Chicago.
Question number 4.
Hey, Gabe and Rick, this is Joe Leskis, director of membership at Elgin Country Club. As a relatively new salesperson in the industry, what would your top 3 tips be for me as I head into my busy season?
Well, Rick is going to love this, and he didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to say my first thing is to invest in a good CRM because wow. A CRM is going to just get you organized, keep you organized, and really just cut through the clutter of your daily day. Talking about clutter, don't let email overwhelm you, Joe. I think that's really important because, you know, I think most people probably get hundreds of emails a day, right? But there are some that you've got to answer and you can't wait to answer them. And I actually did a video tip about this on my YouTube channel. that showed that if you answer a prospect within 5 minutes, you are going to be exponentially in a position to actually close those deals or move them into the prospect stage that are leads. So it's really important that you don't wait 10 minutes even, that you don't wait 20 minutes. You certainly don't wait an hour, but you get a hold of people immediately. And it's crazy. I show some data in the video about that, so check it out. But if you can set up some kind of a system so that when they write the membership email, and maybe it's a specific email for when they fill out a form on your website or something like that, but you could have a notification on your cell phone even that rings in a certain way. When you get those ones, you got to answer those ones. But the other ones, the non-essential ones, you got to just put those off to the side and not get overwhelmed by them. My third tip is one that actually came from another guest on this show. His name's Mark Ensign. And I don't know if he talked about it on the show, but I've heard this theory before that when he was trying to get a particular position, what he did is he made sure that he called all these companies or all these people at these companies, and he got 10 no's per week. And so it began to be his goal that he got 10 no, you cannots before he actually stopped what he was doing. So you can become a powerful, unstoppable force at your club and get in the habit of loving to be rejected. And that will actually get you to motivate you to keep going and to find those members for Elgin. Rick, what you got for him?
Awesome. I love that Joe asked this question. Probably the most consistent thing I put out on LinkedIn is about having a mentor in the industry. And thankfully, I've been able to help Joe out with a lot of stuff here in because we're so close to one another. I've sort of become a mentor on him and watched him flourish over the last couple of years. I mean, that's just one thing above the top three is to, you know, if you're new to the industry, try to locate somebody that you can call on when you have questions. I think that's a huge answer. But let's get into the three. Again, I think you mentioned this right off the top. Stay organized. Once you get into the busy season, I mean, calls and leads are coming at you left and right. You don't have a method to the madness to keeping track of that. You're just going to have people slip through the cracks in the high pay season. Number two is what you said earlier, rank your leads. I see this, unfortunately, too much across the country that they just have a pool of people and they haven't distinguished who should I be spending time on. So certainly rank those leads. Make those people earn your time. You know, so whatever you call them, hot, warm, or cold, A, B, C, D, whatever it's going to be, make sure that somebody's earning that A and B status and then spend your time on those. And then number three, I know you've done a video about this, Gabe, but be a master of follow-up. Too many times the salesperson is only following up once or twice, and many of those sales aren't going to happen until 5, 6, 7 touches down the road. So, Joe, I know you do this. Be a master of follow-up. Let them get to the point where they tell you yes or no. And then even if they tell you no, keep them in the system because things happen with prospects. They get better jobs. They move closer to you. Their life changes. And even if they've told you no today, they may say yes down the road. So keep them in your system.
Maybe they hit the lottery.
Yeah. Maybe they write an award-winning book and there they get rich all of a sudden. All right. Brandon Towns, I think you know who he is. He used to be a wonderful membership director in the Kansas City area. Now works with Club Mark.
Question number 5.
Hey there, Rick and Gabe. This is Brandon Towns with Club Mark Corporation. We see a lot of our clients use CRM systems to perform various automated functions throughout the club. In your opinion, what are the two most underutilized tools in your CRM that clubs should be using today?
Oh, nice, Brandon. Very nice. Well, I'm going to give you one of those. I'll let Rick take the other one. But for me, it's using the automation of the CRM or creating an autoresponder series. So again, it's important, as Rick had just mentioned in the last question, to make sure that you continue to follow up with people, even if they say no, you know, keep giving them information and tips and useful ideas, and maybe you'll convert them at some point. So create an autoresponder series and automate the process. Don't be sending emails one at a time to people. The CRM can handle that for you in most cases. And when people first contact you, an automation tool in your CRM can probably send that first initial email for you. So if you can't reach out to them in 5 minutes, you can have them reach out almost immediately via the CRM to answer the email and tell them that you'll be giving them a call, you know, a little later in the day or whatever your schedule is there at the club. So create an automation or an autoresponder. Rick, what's your take?
Well, my answer here is going to be pretty high level because with a CRM, you can get down into some very, very specific items. My biggest things, just like you said, are keeping track of activities, those follow-ups that we have with our prospects. Unfortunately, the sales position at private clubs is one of the most turbulent positions. Unfortunately, a lot of times clubs, they don't want to have that role there. And so what I preach across the country is to every phone call, every email that you make with somebody, to keep track of that inside the CRM. Don't put it into Outlook. Don't put it into Gmail, because what happens if a membership committee person says all of a sudden, okay, Rick, show me all the steps that you took with this prospect. If you don't have them in one single location, you're not going to be able to show that. And unfortunately, we need to have evidence of the steps that we're taking. So inside the CRM, keep track of every step that you take with that prospect so that the reporting tool can show all those activities. And then the second answer is the reporting tools. When I go to those membership committee meetings and those board meetings, a lot of the decision making at those is based off of speculation of what's going on at a club. I want to be able to bring data, bring pie charts, bring column bar charts to show where our leads are coming from, show what the prospects are interested in, so that we can have real data to make sure that the decision making at the clubs is based off of data instead of based off of speculation and everything. So keep track of those activities and make sure you have some reports that you can take to those important meetings that you have.
Very nice. Very nice.
Well, Gabe, thanks again, man. I love it. I'm glad to be back with you for this episode. I think we did some pretty good stuff on here.
Awesome, man. Yeah, it was good to be with you, man. And I enjoyed it. And catch us next time on another edition of The Inbox.
Want to be on the next edition of The Inbox? Visit privateclubradio.com/inbox and leave us a voicemail. The best questions will get answered on the show.
That's a talented young man, that Rick Coffey. I tell you, what a good time. Excellent. So if you'd like to participate on the show and give us a question that you're interested in, go to privateclubradio.com/inbox. On that page, you can leave us a voicemail and Rick and I will answer it on an upcoming edition of The Inbox. So please do that. Up next, we've got Norm Spitzig, and we're going to learn all about that Master Club Manager designation. Welcome to another edition of Masterclass presented by Master Club Advisors. And today we're joined by Norm Spitzig, who's the senior partner at Master Club Advisors. Norm, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself, Gabe?
I'm doing wonderful. And want to first tell folks about the upcoming webinar that you and I are teaming up on here later this month in April. Tell us, folks, a little bit about what they'll be learning during that session.
Well, you know, if you're in this business or any business really for a long enough time and you perform reasonably well, you get noticed. And the next thing you know, you've got a board member or a fellow club manager or a director or something of a club calling you up and saying, hey, we'd like you to consider moving to our club. And that's fantastic. And a lot of times people's ego might get in the way. And the next thing you know, they're picking up and moving across the country without really doing every bit of research they should do. So my webinar, having done, 400 general manager searches, is a list of the things that you really need to consider as you go through the interview process and meet with the board and meet with the staff and tour the club and all those wonderful things that you just need to ask yourself, is this really a great long-term fit? Now, obviously, there are a lot of factors and none of them are definitive. But I think if you listen to the dozen or so factors that I'm going to talk about at the end, you'll have, a little more logical, fair perspective about whether or not you as an individual should take the offer. Because obviously you want to be in a club for a long time. The people who move every 1 or 2 years, I don't think that says much for your career, doesn't do much for your reputation as a good club manager.
Or your family.
So we'll have some fun. I hope people will sign up. I've got some pretty interesting stories and it should be a good time.
Oh, that sounds great. And it's just to remind folks, it's going to be on April 26th at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. So definitely recommend you join us there. I'm looking forward to that one for sure. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, Norm, well, let listeners in on actually, is that you've kind of re-released your magazine, which is called Club Management Perspectives. Can you tell folks about that?
I can. We had Club Management Perspectives in various forms and iterations been published by our company really since our inception. And we've had some ups and downs and different format changes. And generally speaking, it's been very, very well received. It's a subscription-based magazine, comes out 6 times a year. And when my partner, Bill Schultz, decided to focus only on executive searches and left the firm, Gary Collins and I said, we need to step back and see what we can do to sort of re-energize, re-excite this. And we're really thrilled. We just sent to a lot of people, the April 2017 issue, which has been expanded. We've got about a dozen wonderful contributors, including yourself, by the way, who have been kind enough to contribute over the next 3 to 4 issues. We've got our calendar planned out pretty well, and we're really looking forward to it. We've gotten out of the printing the hard copies, so the price has come down, and you can check out my LinkedIn profile, and you'll see a copy on there. If you're interested, please give me a call, and I'd be happy to email you one. But Gary and I are really, really excited. We've got some great topics that I think will really resonate well with directors, managers, and key staff in the club business.
It's fantastic. I read through it, and it's just filled with actionable information and advice, and I really love that about that particular publication. So thank you for putting it out there, Norm.
Sure, thank you.
Now, today I want to talk to you about the Master Club Manager distinction, because I just got a press release from the CMAA announcing there's 2 new people that have received that designation. Carlos W. Cook Jr., the General Manager and Chief Operating Officer at North Hills Club in Raleigh, North Carolina, as well as McDonald A. Niven, who is the General Manager of Almaden Golf and Country Club in San Jose, California. So I know you are one of the original Master Club Managers. I want to talk to you about that designation and what it was like. So first off, why is that designation so important, Norm?
Well, I got onto the CMA board elected in 1989 and served through 1996, National President 95. And I was on at a really interesting and challenging time. In the late 80s, there was rumblings about what can we do in terms of recognizing people who made lifetime contributions to the club industry above and beyond the CCM. Certainly not meant to diminish the CCM, but rather to enhance and build upon it. When I got on the board, that was really a hot topic. Meade Grady was actually national president then and really charged me and a few other people. I was chairman of the certification committee and the what was called the Club Management Institute, which was the then name for the educational arm in those first couple of years. I was really charged with putting together some criteria that would really recognize people who went above and beyond, if you will, with the designation, and we called it the Master Club Manager. So in the early 90s, 90, 91, 92, the committee had a lot of discussions about how do we recognize people, how do we make this objective, what needs to be the ingredients so that at the end of the process, we can say, yes, this person really is, by objective standards, a true contributor above and beyond what most people were doing. And that's how the Master Club Manager was born. In 1994, I believe 6 people were the original recipients, and that's the result of people approving. I was one of the ones, and honestly, I might have gotten it in 1993, but we all agreed it made sense because we were still sort of exploring and feeling our way. Let's just, you know, back you up a little bit. You've been the guinea pig and don't get too far ahead. Let's learn what you did right, Norm, and honestly, let's learn what you did wrong so that we can have this program fine-tuned. The first 5 or 6 people were conferred in 1994, and I think there's now 24, which is really exciting. It's probably a little less than maybe people had hoped for 20 years ago, but the process has certainly evolved. It's strengthened. It's grown. It's become clear about what you had to do. It was a little fuzzy when I went through it. I said, I think people learned from what Norm did right and what Norm didn't do.
Sure. So what was involved, Norm? What was actually the process of getting that distinction?
Well, there's several steps. The first one is you had to put together what you called your Master Club Manager profile, which was really an assembly in a non sort of self-serving way of all your contributions that you had done to date. And that could be everything from the clubs you managed to speaking assignments, to teaching in universities, to writing articles, to whatever. And it really wasn't designed to sort of show off who you were. It was rather more to say, look, we're corroborating that this particular candidate has done a lot of things. That was submitted to a committee who consisted basically of the certification committee in the early days with a few additional people, some academics. And once you were approved, then really you had to, the gist of it is you had to write a monograph. And the monograph really was a academically inclined paper about a specific topic that would be of interest to people in the private club management business. The topic had to be approved. You had to have academics support you. You had to do some sort of research that was fact-based. You just couldn't give your opinion. And taking that data, you had to come to some conclusion. As an example, Mac Niven, who's a pretty good friend of mine, you mentioned earlier, just got his MCM designation this year. And he wrote his basically about what were the criteria that, what were the best practices, if you will, of the relationship between successful general managers and successful boards. I mean, if there's a topic more near and dear to the governance and the management of private clubs, I don't know what it is.
Right.
I've read Mac's things a couple times, and actually Mac has agreed to submit part of his monograph in pieces into the future issues of our club management perspectives. It's really good.
That's very cool. And you actually wrote about how to recognize when it's the right time for a club manager to seek a job change, which is going to be our webinar episode. And it's funny that you wrote about that. So how relevant is that today at this point?
I did. And actually in preparation for this, I downloaded it. You can get it on the CMA website and read it again and realized I actually said some things, a few things that were actually pretty smart.
Nice.
Every once in a while, I fool myself. It was really a personally challenging time for me. I've been in Fort Wayne Country Club for about a dozen years. And it's not talking out of school to say that I had a president who he and I didn't get along too well. I think in retrospect, I could have survived him. But I was a little bit under the gun. And I ended up moving and life was good. And there's nothing bad about the relationship between me and Fort Wayne Country Club at all. But, you know, this topic really resonated with me personally and also with a lot of top people I'd met up till then in my career who I thought were pretty good managers. And after a relatively long tenure, were asked to leave or left of their own volition. I wanted to know why. And so I did my research. I asked about 30, well, more than that, about 50 people who were, I thought, were long-tenured, respected managers to tell me, what do you think about these various reasons? And they responded, and I used the survey results and kind of grouped my answers into 6 or 7 categories. And I don't want to spend time on all of them, but let me give you the highlights of a couple of things.
Perfect.
The first category I called was called management philosophical considerations. And by that I mean, really, it sounds pretty fancy, but what I really mean is there are people who are hired as the general manager of the club 2, 3, 4, 10 years down the road. There's a new board with a new philosophy, and all of a sudden they don't believe in the general manager concept. We're going to go back to the pro reports to the board directly, and the superintendent does. Now, thankfully, there's not too many of those today. But there are, and they recur. And if you're in that position and you're the GM and all of a sudden people are bypassing you, that's a big warning sign. So that was one under philosophy considerations. A second one is I've seen people who've been pretty good for a long time, and they've been at the club 15, 20 years. And all of a sudden, they're kind of forced out, sometimes for no reason other than the fact that their salary crept up 2, 3, 5% a year, compounded for 15 years. All of a sudden, some board member says, we got a manager, we're paying $400,000, and this is a $200,000 job. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it happens. It happens, I think, in all walks of life, and I've seen some people where that happens. So if you're really earning above and beyond the curve for a club of your size and number of members, that could be a warning sign. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, you'll see power struggles in boards where somebody really wants to take over. I think all kinds of clubs pop in my head, and I certainly don't want to say individual clubs, but I've worked with some where you get two people who think they want to be the president, and by being the president, they want to tell the GM what to do. Well, good GMs love to have guidance. I think good GMs also are very wary of when you have some president telling you you will have 6 staff meetings a week at 6 a.m. That just doesn't fly. Other factors that were important but less influential were things like external things. Is your club about ready to be sold to a developer? Well, you know, if that's happening, the odds have lasted, it may not be all that long.
Right.
And then there were personal family considerations. You know, it's fair to say that the 6 years that I managed Ballinasloe Country Club, while I did a lot of good things, met a lot of good people, and still have friends there today, that part of the world in a club that was in such flux all the time maybe wasn't the best influence on my family life at the time. And I think if you're not really happy with yourself personally in your family life, it might be a time to change. Anyway, it was really fun going back and reading all the topics because some of them translate very well today and some of them are really variations of what we're going to talk about in a few weeks. So things are good.
That's very cool. So what did it mean to you to receive that designation? You said that there's only 24 people out there in the world that have this. I kind of liken that to the master sommelier type process. So it's got to be pretty important. What does that mean to you, Norm?
Personally, I'm very proud of it. I think it is sort of the manifestation objectively of my contributions, which I'm proud of, to the private club industry. It was hard work. I think in retrospect, a lot of people have been deterred, friends of mine, over the last 20 years because it's perceived to be too hard. One of the real challenges I think even today CMA faces is how do we make this a recognizable lifetime achievement for real significant contributions to the club industry and not make it so bizarrely hard and arcane that nobody will ever try to do it. It's a time commitment. I think perhaps we might have become in the last 5 years too academic. Now, that's just one man's opinion, and I'm not slighting those who have an opinion elsewhere. And I get the idea that we have to have rigid standards, but I think we need to make it also attainable. And I think there's that balance that the CMA board is constantly dealing with. You know, I dealt with it during my tenure, and I think the board is doing a good job, all things considered, dealing with it in their tenure. We don't need to have 300 MCMs, but we now have 24. The vision, if you ask those of us who were on the founding and the early discussions, probably thought that there'd be 40 to 50 people this time. So, you know, maybe we were wrong. Maybe the CMA board now is too tough. I don't know. But you asked, I gave you a long-winded answer. Those of us who've achieved it, all 24 of us, I think to a person, are very, very proud of having gone through the process, of having those three letters after our name and showing the world, hey, you know, we contributed and here's objectively how we did to the private club industry.
It's a very elite club and I bet you are very proud of it. It's pretty cool. I wish I was part of something like that. That's really neat. So Norm, thank you so much for lending your wisdom to us today again here on Masterclass presented by Master Club Advisors. And just last question before I let you go, how do folks find out more about you and what you're doing there with Master Club Advisors?
Well, our website is masterclubadvisors.com. You can go on there and you can find basically about anything you need to know in terms of the services that we offer. You can certainly look me up on LinkedIn. I have a few people I'm connected with on LinkedIn. I think I'm about to about 7,000 people now.
Which is good. Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad. And so those are
pretty
the two
good.
Main things. Two main things. If you have, you know, we do a lot of things, executive search, do a lot of speaking to different groups around the world, which I mentioned earlier on. Greg Pius and I are going to South America next month, which is pretty cool.
That's very cool.
So just, you know, give me a call. I'll be happy to work with boards.
Don't get into any trouble like those FBI agents down there.
I will not.
I met your wife, actually. She's a wonderful lady and runs a beautiful cafe there in Mount Dora, Florida. So thank you again, Norm. Really appreciate it and hope to see everyone back here next month on another edition of Masterclass presented by Master Club Advisors. Awesome stuff from Norm right there. I learned a lot. Hope you did this week on Private Club Radio. I hope you will download that app. And like I said before, please share it with one person out there. And until next week, here's to your membership success. Awesome stuff from Norm right there. I learned a lot. Hope you did this week on Private Club Radio. I hope you will download that app. And like I said before, please share it with one person out there. And until next week, here's to your membership success.
Private Club Radio is brought to you by the Private Club Agency, the premier marketing and consulting firm dedicated to helping clubs increase and retain their membership. Visit privateclubagency.com to learn more.